Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. I am joined, as always, by Sarge.
I'm not wearing my Ron Watkins for Congress shirt because it doesn't say that on the shirt. I'm mad at you, Ron. Thank you to Arizona Right Wing Watch for sending me that.
And the mysterious L.
Hello, my beautiful babies.
Just aggressive showman L this week.
Yeah.
Can't you tell how white my teeth are based on the way I sound?
Yeah, glistening.
Now just show like them what they've won.
Like a military cemetery. Oh my god. Yeah. So just to jump right into the amuse-bouche, I got my shirt was mailed to me, and on the front it just says Ron Watkins Code Monkey Z, and on the back it just has a Walmart eagle with a freedom's not free, but it's worth fighting for. Nowhere on it. It's just the most generic shit ever. It's
Okay, Slugger. Calm down for just a second. I'm pushing you back into your corner like a ring man. And I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm going, Mike, play the fucking pump.
You got it, boss. You got it.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
We can't keep the kid contained.
I tear my false chains away.
Yeah, so I saw the photos you posted on Twitter or whatever of your mighty haul. And I was sort of surprised by how generic the shirt was.
I would be stunned if it wasn't made at a mall kiosk.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, it does give off that vibe. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the conservative merchandise machine gives off that sort of vibe. It's like, I feel like most of their merchandise is either mall kiosk or like crazy thing that the internet makes possible, where you know how like you can get a romper that's just copy pasta Danny DeVito's face all over it and that's it and shit like that. Well, conservatives have found that technology on the internet, so you can find some buck wild shit out there. Like, do you want to be head to toe in Christ the Lord? They got you. A 3-piece suit with that silk screened on all of it, just literally Jesus's face like a pug. You can do that now. And
I don't want Arizona Right Wing Watch to think for one second I am not grateful. I love it. I love that I have it. I'm disappointed in Ron. This thing fucking blows.
The poster delivered, or the flyer, yeah. Whatever it was.
The flyer
was exactly what I wanted. Ron's dead-eyed stare. His little logo that seemed like it's just like like, you know. It's easy to score points on this clown because of his stupid Wagyu cowboy hat, but he literally made it part of his identity. It's his fucking logo. He's just like, yeah, man, you know who I am? I'm the guy with the cowboy hat. And it's just like, yeah, man, you would like literally 400,000 other people.
I would no joke wear that shirt out in public if it said Ron Watkins for Congress, I'm Q. It would draw all the wrong attention, but oh my god, it'd be so good. It just, I'm Q.
Given what his campaign was and what it became, he might as well have gone for it. He should have just gone full blown, I'm Q, that's who I am, and he should have had Q endorse himself. He should have gone the whole nine with it, because what he planned on doing and what he actually achieved was not great.
I mean, he executed, right? The results are in. We actually have it listed as a headline to the amuse-bouche. I believe it says Ron Watkins, : total winner.
I mean, this is a good place to segue into Ron Watkins. No, I'm checking the notes here. It says : official loser. Do we have the percentages he got in the Republican? Because he's running in the Republican primary in Arizona, right?
Correct. So the winner was Eli Crane, who is listed as E. Crane in our
Mike, our, that sounds like a fake Batman villain name. I believe you mispronounced his name. It is pronounced Ron Watkins. I believe that's how that
I was.
But
I was
the winner's name is pronounced Ron Watkins.
E. Crane sounds like a Street Fighter II mini boss.
Maybe it's both. It's the combination property of E. Honda and Dr. Crane, aka Scarecrow, from the Batman property, because that's the mashup we need to see. Like, now that all properties are just getting stirred together into big soups, we'll get there eventually. Somebody fire up the Dally Mini and tell it to produce Blanca but as Scarecrow.
You said so, Dally, and for a second I thought you meant Dhalsim.
I also said Blanca instead of E. Honda. Yeah. At least once, maybe twice. I meant E. Honda both times, but who knows?
Yeah.
Lord knows we're not going to edit it out if I did.
Yeah.
No, fuck that. Oh, my God. So our boy Ron did slightly worse than E. Crane did. Because
just a little?
Yeah, just a touch. So... what do you gents think Ron's percent of the vote was? 82% of the vote is in, so this could move up or down a little bit. But E. Crane locked up the victory with 33.9, so basically 34% of the vote. What do you think Ron's haul, what his percentage was? What was his haul?
I'm going to give him 1%. I'm going to be generous. I know roughly the amount he got. I saw it somewhere. So I'm going to go with 1%.
I'm going to give him slightly more than that and give him 1.69%. Nice. Nice. Anybody? Dabs? Holds up for dabs? Dabs? Anybody want to dab me real quick?
I'll head on over. We're going to pause the podcast for like 25 minutes while I navigate over to Elle's place for the dab. You both massively underestimated Ron's incredible appeal to the Republican primary voter base.
Oh, wow.
The man raked in a massive 3.8%.
Wow.
What a unit. Primary vote. Oh, my God.
This still qualifies him for last place. He at current recording, he now has 2,999 votes. He is one vote shy of 3,000.
So is there an official term for when your opponent defeats you by more than 10 times your haul? is there an official term for that? Is it like savage beating or absolutely dominated?
I mean, my grandparents would say he got skunked because they played at a lot of cribbage. So,
yep.
But that doesn't feel... That doesn't feel quite strong enough.
Yeah. There was an old-timey British horse racing slang. The term nowhere meant you got beat by an incredible amount of distance between the winning horse and your shitty inferior horse. So you could conceivably say that Ron achieved nowhere because he lost by an incredible amount. I don't know
he achieved nowhere and he is nothing. This guy has the market of being useless cornered. Like, he's just, the fact that we have to talk about him is related literally only to the fact that he was secretly cute, at least for a time, secretly in air quotes with a wink. And aside from that, he is just sort of like a cardboard standee brought to life by the lowest level fairy magic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He doesn't even have like the sinister undercurrent that somebody like a Mike Pence has, where it's like, look, Mike Pence is clearly a robot. He was designed in the 70s, so he's not like he's not as good as we'd like, but he's clearly some sort of robot that's being like, you know, piloted off stage by somebody. But because he is a robot, there is at very least a small element of danger and coolness to him. Not so with Rod Watkins. Cardboard come to life. Dead eyes stare.
Yeah. You're giving him some coolness.
I mean, like, at the very least, just like, it seems like at some point somebody could program Mike Pence to kill. And then,
they could activate him.
Yeah. Like, his arms would like raise up and like his hands would split apart and there'd be like mini guns. He was just like firing into the crowd indiscriminately. And he'd be like, oh my God, we should have taken him seriously. We should have hung him when we had the chance. Trump was right.
Yeah, but I mean, Mike Pence is like the early conversation that like Kyle Reese has with Sarah Connor in Terminator, where he's like, the early ones had rubber skin, they were easy to spot. That's like the Mike Pence bot. He was like the T-600. He was like the old tiny robot that's like very obviously mechanical and not very good at infiltrating human civilization. So whereas like Ron Watkins is actually just like a tiny robot that has like no human skin or anything. It's just this absolute nothing of a creature. It's like, oh my God, why'd they even build that? What was Skynet even dreaming of when it created Ron Watkins? What a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what happens when Ron Watkins gets activated. He slowly does a fist gesture, like success kid. Well, yeah. That's his level of activation. That's his red eyes. He just does that gesture, and that's that. And then he loses an election by infinity.
Yes. I don't exactly know this for sure, which one of these two nobodies that's above him in the polls, but there was one person who got 5.6% of the vote, and I do believe that this person literally was just a farmer who was running because they were annoyed at like the brush fires in Arizona that were like ruining the land, and they were just running they weren't even advertising or anything. They were just like, I'm a Republican and I believe in Republican things.
Oh, Hydro Man for governor.
Yes. I mean, it was just like, hey, I'm a Republican and I believe in small government, but I think there's some bad stuff happening with all these fires. So vote for me against fires. And that resonating pitch got about 1,500 more votes than old Ronnie Watts did.
Hydro
Man's campaign just did not have enough money coming in to keep him afloat, huh? Anyway, Ron Watkins got dominated. His vote count was very low. He'd be doing very well if he was playing a game of golf, but he's not. Also, speaking of golf, segue. Let's talk about Ivanka Trump, more specifically her corpse. Mike, what's the deal with the corpse watch? What's the deal with Ivanka Trump's corpse? I only vaguely saw headlines about this, and so the mind had reeled with ghoulish thoughts.
Beyond ghoulish, but not
in my mind. Donald Trump took his ex-wife's body and buried it in one of his resorts.
He did,
and he did. That's exactly right.
And that is what happened. Okay, is there like a mausoleum that you have to putt around? Is she like under the ground?
It's a pauper's grave. It's the definition of a pauper's grave. It is just
so they just dug a hole and chucked her in.
I mean, pretty much, and they gave her like a flat. Rock headstone, it's the cheapest everything, and it's all for tax evasion because go ahead.
Oh yeah. I've been reading a lot of people debating pro con if this is actually something that allows him to claim that the Trump golf course is now a cemetery and gives him the tax write off or not. So yeah. If he, I mean, maybe it's very possible this could be a tax write-off. I've seen arguments for it. But yeah, this is the most like disgraceful thing. If you're Donald Trump, like resident trillionaire, richest man in the world, the whole reason why people talked about voting for him was that no one can buy the man. He's so rich and powerful. And then you look at his ex-wife's grave, which is like literally just dirt on his golf course. It's just like,
You sent me a picture of this, and my favorite part are just all of the golf cart tracks just covering it. Like it's literally just impediment to these people driving around this golf course.
I think those are tracks from the trucks that came and like,
I guess I still assume.
But there is a golf cart in the photo.
Yeah, there is a golf cart in the photo, and also I just assumed that graves were still dug by hand, so I didn't know that there would necessarily need to be trucks involved. But that does make more sense in my head, though. The people in that golf cart are just like, "What the fucking grave, man? I just want to get from the club to hole two or whatever," which is like no problem. It's like, you know.
Yeah. It's being reported on as he's, I mean, just because it's such a cheap, shitty grave. And like, she famously hated him.
Maybe it's just pettiness. If he was literally just like, she hated my guts and I hated her guts, and since she was dead, for some reason I got to say what happened to her body. This is what happens to her body. It goes on my fucking golf course because I hated her guts. Yeah. I'd be like, you know what? this is the most I've ever respected you, because at the very least, you're just telling the truth. It is a shitty truth. It makes you seem like a very bad person. But at the same time, it may be the first time ever you haven't lied.
We've actually achieved honest Trump for the first time literally ever.
Yeah, if he was just like, hey, yeah, I'm rich, but I'm also petty. And fuck her. And she's dead now. And I'm not. So enjoy being on my golf course.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
That definitely seems like the sort of thing that, like, he'd be like, I prefer my ex-wives not dead or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he would say some insane thing.
Yeah. I think he's actually said he wants to be buried at one of his golf courses also. So, like, this is, like, a weird...
So
like,
his children can dodge taxes, too.
That'd be awesome.
I want him to have a mausoleum. I want him to have, like, a mini golf course-style giant thing you have to play around.
Instead
like
of
a huge bronze statue of himself, but like taken from that picture where it's his head on top of Rocky's body, so it's just Donald Trump's face on this like ripped, like shredded muscle man, like pointing triumphantly, like doing the Hulk Hogan flex and pose.
God, yeah, I totally see all of that. I love the idea of the LIV Invitational Golf Tournament, the Saudi blood money golf tour that's trying to compete with the PGA, and just literally had an event at a Trump course. I'm just imagining some LIV golfer being like, yeah, sucks I hit the Trump statue on 17, thought I was going to win this week, but you know you got to play around the statue. I thought I was going to be clear of it. Them's the breaks. I'll get them next time. I other people talking about, oh, yeah, I bounced it off Ivanka's headstone on six. And so, yeah,
it's just a mini golf course of buried Trumps.
Yes.
Yeah, they've just got, like, the groundskeepers out there, like, shoveling a small amount of dirt even onto the horizontal headstone to just, like, cover over it for the tournament so that way it's not an impediment. They're just like, don't worry, we've taken care of the Ivanka hole. Shouldn't be an issue this year. The dirt is well packed. You won't even know she's there.
God. Yeah, I love when you guessed and you were 100% right.
Well, like I said, I'd skimmed the headlines, so like I knew that there was something involving her body and his golf course, and I was like, okay, he probably buried her like near a golf course, or heaven forbid, on one of his golf courses, but like. In like a pretty, like I assumed it was going to look good because I just assumed he would want part of his golf course to look good, but no, just some hole in the ground. Get wrecked.
Yeah.
What an absolute lad Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Is. No wonder everybody loves him. No wonder everybody loves him, but there's no debating it.
No.
Sorry, I was just reading I'm going to call them show notes. I thought you wrote Ivanka's goofy grave.
No, it's Ivanka's golfy grave. But I mean, it is goofy. Well, actually, it's not really goofy. It's just sort of tragic.
It's
I wish
very
it was goofy.
Sad. Yeah, I wish it had a pinwheel or something on it.
Yeah, like, or a windmill. It's on a golf course,
yeah,
mate. Like, let's put a little windmill there. And if you get the ball in the shot, you get like a penny.
I think we've been screwing up her name this whole time. It's Ivana Trump who's dead. Ivanka's the daughter he wants to have sex with.
Oh, it's wish fulfillment.
I just assumed they had the same name.
Yeah, it's Ivana.
They added something because that's why her name is so Ivanka's name is so odd.
Well,
yeah.
Whatever. I also confused E. Honda and Blanca. I'm clearly not on the top of my game, Mike.
Trump wants to fuck both of them. So.
Mike, it's really because of marijuana, friend. You know I indulge. You know I partake because it is legal where I live. So don't at me.
No,
unless you want to at me and just be like, yo, daps. And then, you know, just...
Yes. Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, okay. Now that we've had a nice hoot and a holler about the corpse of an old woman who died, let's go into the headlines where we will be sad.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Q's in the news.
Hard to get more sad than Alex Jones. Let's start with Alex Jones.
Oh, God.
Today in court, the lawyer for the plaintiff, Mark Bankston, with Alex Jones on the stand in cross, said, Mr. Jones, were you aware that your lawyers, now we asked for this in discovery and you didn't give it to us, but your lawyers accidentally a couple days ago sent us all of your texts from the last 4 years. So that came out in court today that Alex's lawyers gave the plaintiffs his entire phone, everything on his phones on accident for the last several years. And
yeah, I'm not saying that they should leak that, but I am saying that some hacker should hack that and leak that. That would be great.
Oh, I know a Senate subcommittee that would love to have those phone and text records.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, howdy. I mean, I think they have the right to them.
If the other attorneys accidentally beefed it and just sent them unbidden to you?
No, I think I don't know for sure, but I think once this is done, those are public because they're on like public court records now.
What happened was when Banks, because I was watching the live stream when it all happened, Bankston said, he's like, you know, like Alex, like X number of days ago, your lawyers accidentally gave us all this information. And we then told them, yo, Alex's defense team, you gave us all this information. Do you want to go through this and mark anything as privileged or that there's like a reason to withhold it or anything? And we received nothing but deafening silence from your legal team. And after a certain number of days passed, like their legal right to contest it went away. I think they said there was like a 10-day gag order while the two sides were supposed to be debating it. But the prosecution had, the plaintiffs had properly like addressed the defense and said, yo, you got any problems with this? And when they received no response in 10 days, they're like, okay, it's all admissible. We can bring forth all of this evidence. It's totally in the record now. And Alex was on the stand pouting, like, oh, you got your Perry Mason moment now. Oh, you think you're so rough and tough. And the lawyer's like, yeah, kind of, I do, because this is really bad for you. Unbelievably bad for you. Yes. Yeah,
so I'm gonna preface this by saying this is a comedy bit based on no speculation. Yep. I have no information regarding this, so do not take this as any sort of fact. But what are the odds that Alex Jones has never texted maybe some like lascivious communiques to somebody who might be a little bit south of the age of consent?
I don't know. Like,
that seems to be a problem in that sort of, you know, field of conservative men, right? That's a thing that keeps happening to conservative men like all the time.
He seems to be into some other stuff that people in his circles would find questionable that I will not talk about here.
Oh, come on. I know exactly what you're talking about. No. That was hilarious.
I mean, he definitely has texts with Rogan that are now in the court record, and I can't wait to get a hold of those. But what it really gave us was financials, because Alex has texted about InfoWars financials, and this is like the main thing they've been trying to hide. And we know that after he was deplatformed now, he said himself that at some point InfoWars was making $800,000 a day. And like a lot of that, like they're making that, a lot of that is going into the cost of selling shitty supplements and toothpaste that cures COVID. But we have now estimates that they have $300 million in assets that Alex Jones is like, it's somewhere. We don't necessarily know where, but they're going to find it. And like, you can just up those damages by double, because they were asking for $150 million. But without knowing, no one really knew Jones's financials, because he's done a very good job of hiding it.
The one thing that's interesting to me about all of that is the fact that, yeah, this fam, and this is just two parents of one of the children that was killed at Sandy Hook. Mm-hmm. He's got three more cases that he has already lost by default judgment. So it's like, if this family only dinged him for $150 million, he still has to go through this ringer three more times. So he could end up easily owing over $500 million in civil damages by the time all these cases are done, if he got dinged for over $100 million in each and every time the jury came back with a number. And so, I mean, like this is just, it's so ridiculous to think that like 150 million or more is just the start of this shit. Cause his Connecticut trial starts sometime this month. Like this trial wraps up and then immediately we just like hop on a plane, fly to Connecticut for his second case that he lost by default judgment and all of this stuff. Like none of these trials are actual trials where there's any discussion about the verdict. He lost because he refused to comply with discovery. He refused to take part in the process of the court case. So the justice system literally said, because you will not comply, you lose. You just lose for non-compliance.
Good day, sir.
Yes. Yes. Like, and I've heard people like being worried about him appealing this, and he himself, he actually was on his show, which is so awesome that you're in the middle of this trial where you're looking at a 9-figure loss and you're on your television show or your radio show, whatever the fuck InfoWars is, and he's sitting around going, I've declared bankruptcy, they'll never get a nickel out of me, I'll be able to keep this show going for years and years, they can't lay a glove on all Alex Jones, I'm too smart for them. And it's like, you know, confessing your crimes on your public show is a real good way for people to know what you're doing and like stop you. You think you're the first piece of shit to get hit with a judgment that's tried to not pay? You don't think our civil legal system?
He's just playing a character, Mike. Those are lines. Those are lines he wrote for his character.
He keeps calling the judge a goblin and a Satanist and an occultist and everything on his show. And then the plaintiffs keep showing the clips in court of him insulting the judge.
And yesterday...
Brilliant legal minds.
Oh, God, the most brilliant of all legal minds.
Well, yesterday, I mean, if it wasn't for him and his... Sorry to cut you off, Mike. But if it wasn't for him and his team being idiots, I wouldn't care at all about this. In fact, I probably shouldn't be admitting this because this is the show that we do, but I don't care about this because he's already lost. And all it comes down to, like, if he was just a regular person, he would just be sitting in court while his attorneys argued their case to see how much money he owes these people because he's already lost. And that is where it should end. And that sounds very boring. Like, all I care about there is the result. It's like a game of soccer. So... Yes. So then at the end of it, they would just be like, we have decided that Alex Jones owes these people $150 million. And it's like, hooray, justice served, fuck that guy, can't wait to see it happen again, and then again, and then again, and I think one more time after that. But because he's a wackadoo, and apparently his defense team is inept, or at least in some ways inept, it's got a little bit of spice to it. Yeah. But if he ever just decides to be a quiet boy, like in the second and third trial or whatever, if losing this one very badly to the tune of like a lot of money ends up like sort of like tamping him down a little bit and putting him in a little bit of a box for the next like three, those will probably be very boring. Although I guess you could just lean into the skid real hard and just get progressively crazier. And then by the time we get to the fourth or fifth one, it's going to be a real hoot and a holler. I want to see him with just like a full like mountain man Grizzly Adams beard and just like big on long unkempt fingernails, just like some sort of fat Charles Manson, just in there just being like, you goblin Satanists, I still totally believe it. It was all true. I hate you.
Yeah, what I was saying yesterday, the parents of the child that died at Sandy Hook that is suing Alex, Alex had been just aggressively coughing on the stand and claiming that it was not COVID, that he has a damaged larynx, that he somehow suffered.
It flares up occasionally.
Yeah, it flares up when he gets asked questions he doesn't like.
Probably from sucking that Donald Trump D, am I right, guys? Hey, yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Chad liberals here. Fuck them. I hate Trump.
Yes, it's all about, oh God, Elle's the most manly Chad liberal of all of us.
Carry my balls around in a wheelbarrow, but a different one than that conservative meme, you get it?
Damn right. So the parents testified to the damage that Alex did to them, and then Alex got on the stand, and he testified for a little while, and then as he was leaving the stand, he was just hacking and coughing and like just like sputtering, and the mother Scarlet went up to Alex with a bottle of water in an effort to try to help him deal with his cough. And Alex proceeded to go at the parents about how they were being manipulated by quote unquote fake videos, that the parents don't understand the truth of Sandy Hook as well as Alex Jones does.
And then at the end of his rant, he was like, and also I don't want your water because there's a chemical in it that will turn frogs and therefore be gay.
Yes.
No, ma'am, I do not want your bottled water because I am afraid that it will turn me gay because I am a moron.
Yeah, he probably, if he'd had the time, he probably would have tried to sell him one of his water filters. That was, he was big on the water filters back in the day before he got into the dick pills and the vitamin D.
Okay, so I have obviously never listened to InfoWars because why would I? Please tell me that the filter was supposed to filter out the stuff that made you gay. Like, specifically, I need to know that.
I mean, he does an ad pivot in almost everything. So it's been a while since I've watched They're Turning the Freaking Frogs Gay, but I'm willing to bet he did an ad pivot in that. The problem is he doesn't even understand what he's talking about. He's just riffing on this pollution that was mutating the frogs and changing their gender. He free associating like he does. So the answer to your question is yes and no. He'll promise anything. He's gotten in trouble multiple times for saying his products do incredible and amazing things.
I was just hoping to God that it was like the Alex Jones anti-liberal gay agenda filter. And it was literally just like, put it on your tap to make sure that you don't get any mixed up feelings about your gender or sexuality.
Oh, make no mistake. Alex Jones is wildly homophobic and transphobic.
I want the water filter to literally be injecting extra testosterone into my water. I want it to be extra Chadley masculine water to make sure that it's just like I want to drink 16 ounces of tap water and be like, yo, I'm gonna crush some puss.
Oh God, I was trying to it drains the soy out of your water, so like all of that stuff, it removes all those things that make you a beta. Oh, it'd be the greatest.
You can sprinkle it on tofu and it will turn it into meat. It's so crazy. What a filter. It's like it's a filter for everything in your daily life. You just pass some tofu through it and it'll chad that tofu right up.
I think we have our newest bit of bro science, like grift, like the Chad filter, the filter that like gets rid of all the impurities that make you weak and effeminate and allows you to be alpha and masculine.
Oh, hard seltzer, not today, pussy. Put it through the filter. Get the bourbon out of it.
Damn right.
I hate Alex Jones and people like him. Okay, well, rock on. Speaking of dumb fuck idiots who are sort of like Alex Jones, on our notes here, the next headline is, quote, all the fucking shit involving the midterms. And I know that that's the quote, because that was dictated to me by Mike Rains. So Mike Rains, let's get into, quote, all the fucking shit involving the midterms. Where would you, our expert on such things, like to start?
I think I'm going to start in Pennsylvania because like last night's elections have like sucked all the oxygen out of the room for the moment. And I think Pennsylvania is like so hilarious at the moment that I want to just take a moment to like laugh at all the shit going on there. So what's happening in Pennsylvania is Doug Mastrioni, who is a nut that we've talked about a bit on the podcast in the olden times, because he was a 2020 election truther, one of these guys that was like trying to file lawsuits right after Trump lost and licking Trump's boots every way he could. Doug won the Republican primary for governor, and he's pretty much come out and said that if he wins the governorship, that the Republicans are winning Pennsylvania in the 2024 presidential election, because he just won't let the Democrats win. He is just going to fucking rig it. And he's a nut, and he's campaigned on just, I'm insane. I'm absolutely out of my goddamn fucking mind, and you should vote for me if you're a Republican who wants to literally rule in a, have Pennsylvania become a fascist dictatorship. And one of the great ways that Mastrioni has been like showing his bona fides on this count is he had a relationship with our boy Andrew Torba, the guy who runs Gab. And Torba, he paid a lot of money to Torba for advertisement and promotion on Gab. My Gab burner accounts were made a long time ago. They weren't made recently, but someone told me that there was a period of time where if you made a new Gab account, you auto followed Torba himself, Gab Help, the Gab corporate account, and Mastrioni. You just auto followed Mastrioni's fucking account if you signed up for Gab. So like he got like the full fixings. My ancient old tiny Gab burner account had the first three, but my fourth one was the Babylon Bee, that unfunny, shitty attempt at being the right wing onion. Like apparently the Bee at one point got Torba to hook him up with the everyone's got to follow us if they sign up to your shitty platform thing.
I believe they call that the Tom package.
Yes, exactly.
Tom's everybody's friend, baby.
Damn right.
Wow, what a yes. Dating yourself a little there.
Hey,
I bet the average age of our listener is around the same age of people who would remember Tom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got that pull immediately. I thought it hit solidly.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, all three of us, I didn't even have to say the man's last name. I just said Tom, and then boom, we all knew who it was.
You know
Tom?
I never even had an account on that site. So
yeah,
and I knew what you were saying. So I guess fair enough.
Yeah. So basically, Torba was getting all kinds of hot and bothered over the fact that he was bros with this guy who was totally going to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. And Torba started going out there and just basically talking mad shit about how like the Republican Party is now a Christian nationalist party and Marjorie Taylor Greene's talking about Christian nationalism. And what it really means to be a Christian nationalist is to not let 2% of America tell us what to do, which is an incredibly unsubtle reference to Jewish people because Torba is a vicious anti-Semite. And eventually some people started looking at the fact that, hey, Mastrioni, you're running for governor in a state that's not exactly like blood red. So like getting in bed with Gab and a fucking Nazi social platform is not a great look. And a few days after Torba made his big chest beating speech and how like me and Mastrioni are the best of friends and we're taking Pennsylvania over, the Mastrioni campaign came out and was like, Torba, we don't even know him. I don't know what you're talking about. This Gab thing, that was some fucking coffee boy signing me up for that shit. I don't know what you're talking about. Mastrioni deactivated his Gab account. He's like kicked Torba to the curb, all this stuff. Torba posted a statement on Gab being like, I have never worked for the Mastrioni campaign. My views are my own. His views are his own. I still am going to vote for him, and I hope everyone else does. But don't associate us. Like, it's weird that openly courting Nazis is not a winning play for a general election in Pennsylvania. So bizarre. So,
but unfortunately, the sad reality of our country is that it's closer than you may have think. I couldn't decide on may have thought or may think, so I believe what I settled on when I said it was may have thinked, which is great.
Yes,
really on a roll today. You know, it's closer than you may have thinked.
Yeah.
Well, the one last bit of good news I'll give in Pennsylvania before we move on to weirder and funnier states in America is the fact that Mastrioni is now down big in all the polls in his race, which is good. And don't for one second let up, because again, he's literally said he'll steal that state, that vital electoral state for the Republicans should he be allowed to do so. And our boy Dr. Oz is also getting thumped most brutally in his Senate campaign in Pennsylvania.
I was about to ask how Dr. Oz was doing.
Yeah, he's doing bad. I haven't seen it from like sourced political experts on Twitter and such, but people who like do the scuttlebutt kind of commentary on politics Twitter have said that, like, the Republican senatorial campaign has told donors, by the way, we're not putting any more money into Pennsylvania. We can win the Senate without it. We're not going to throw good money after bad trying to prop up Dr. Oz. It's so funny to me that, like, that was their fucking candidate in Pennsylvania, was like a fucking celebrity from New Jersey. That was their big plan to win this state, was, hey, people know Dr. Oz, right? It's really funny that, like, states are so aggressively territorial about stuff like this, but, like, carpetbagging is, like, one of the easiest ways to ding somebody. I remember when the Republicans, like, I forget if it was 2014 or 2010, but I just remember, like, Republicans are just crushing everywhere. Like, every election you look at, oh, Republican wins big. But Massachusetts' big, dumb, wet boy, Scott Brown, tried to carpetbag his way to a Senate seat in New Hampshire and just got crushed because New Hampshire was like, fuck you, Massachusetts boy. Even though Republicans are going to win everywhere else, we're not going to let you win because you're not from New Hampshire, you fuck. So I just don't know why you'd run a candidate that just can get hit with that tag, like, immediately. It's like, it's just
also,
like,
Dr. Oz strikes me as sort of like the epitome of the Republican celebrity, because when their name comes up, you're just like, oh yeah, I kind of remember him from like 10 years ago or whatever, back when he was popular. It's like Kirstie Alley and fucking, you know, Kevin Sorbo. It's all these people that are just like, I'm a Republican. And you're just like, oh yeah. And you were like, used to be famous, right? That's so weird. Like, that you used to be somebody and now you are conservative.
Yeah. They're just, God, they have nothing.
Probably because 2% of Hollywood just keeps them down. Am I right, guys?
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. So
once again, that's we're getting pretty close to being on target with that sentiment. She's like, I'm sick and tired of 2% of the country, like, holding the rest of us down. And it's just like, yeah, man, fuck the Electoral College. Am I right? That shit sucks. And he's just like, oh, no, that's not what I was talking about. Sorry, 2%, but with, like, parentheses around it. And you're just like, oh, get out of here. You were so close to saying something like having a good point. It's like, yeah, it's really weird that this, like, weird minority has so much power. It's bizarre. I agree, we should tear that down. Fuck the Electoral College, boo. And he's just like, no, that's not what I meant.
Exactly. So dumb. So yeah, we then jump out of Pennsylvania, and we our first part of this little tour will be Michigan, where one of the Republicans who voted to impeach Trump, but he goes by the name of Myers, I believe. That gentleman lost his primary to a raving Trump lunatic named Dobbs. And there has been a lot of consternation and people getting very upset on Twitter about, I can't believe a good man like this would be defeated by a lunatic such as this. And I saw one person actually tweet out that this is a stain on both parties that this has happened, because apparently the Democratic Congressional Committee, and this is a thing that is being said in a lot of races all across America, is that the Democrats are, quote unquote, playing with fire and meddling in these races by, quote unquote, boosting fringe or extreme candidates and helping them win. And when I heard this at first, like, because I have a very small brain, I thought, oh, so the Democrats are running ads where they're like, this guy you might not have heard of is a guy who aligns with Republican ideals. Vote this guy, good Republican. But then I actually found the ads, and the ads are just like, this guy's a Trump bootlicker who will ban all abortions no matter what the situation is. This dude, way too fucking extreme for America. Do not vote for him. And people are taking this as a crazy, like, 180 bank shot, where the Republicans, like, the Republican primary voter, being a huge dum-dum, sees this ad and is like, this guy loves Trump and hates all abortions. Oh, I love him. I got to vote for him. And it's like, what is going on here? Because I have spent my entire life being told by everybody that Democrats are the absolute fucking worst at politics, that they have no idea how to message, they have no idea how to campaign.
They're not great.
They're not, yeah, they're just terrible. They're the fucking absolute worst. Yet, at the same time, the Democrats are so bad at everything. They are just masters of Jedi-like mind manipulation and can literally, with just a couple ads in the right election cycle, make Republican primary voters vote for sociopaths. And they totally would not have done it if it weren't for those meddling Democrats. And it's like, and I'm here to let you all in on a little secret. Republican primary voters want to vote for the sociopath. They have no problem voting for the sociopath. They don't need the Democrats to encourage them to do this. They want to do this. So don't be pissing and moaning about the Democrats throwing a few dollars in to run what are literally bog standard general election attack ads against these people and being like, oh no, those Democrats are going crazy. They're doing all kinds of wild stuff.
When have Democrats ever gone crazy or done a wild thing? That is the like, if I found out that Democrats were actually pulling a move like this, I'd be like, holy shit, Democrats are doing something.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I mean, it might not be the thing that I want. You know, it's sort of like the Trump thing. Like, if he said that shit, it would be terrible, but at least he'd be telling the truth. Like, if I found out the Democrats were really trying to pull some, like, 4D chess shit to move the needle, then at least they're doing something. I mean, the thing we've had to hang our hat on this week was Pelosi touching down in Taiwan. And it was just like, oh, but oh, buddy, oh, look at her. She, oh, what big dick energy, so crazy. Oh, my goodness, Pelosi, what a champ. Oh, geez. And it's just like, wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, and QAnon loved themselves, that fucking Pelosi stuff. They were.
I bet. I
mean, oh yeah. Oh, like they were talking about it being like the scare event and like China and World War III and why are the Democrats doing this? And they love China. They're just totally in favor of China. They want China to invade Taiwan because Taiwan has evil bio labs the way Ukraine has evil bio labs. And they've created this whole nonsense narrative of just madness, just absolute, like just pants on head madness. It's very bizarre.
I heard people talking about how they were afraid that this was going to lead to World War III, and I was just like, in what universe does China decide to just? They're just like, you know what? We're just going to we're just going to kill the third in command in America or whatever. Just kill her, kill her. And it's just like the moment that happened, the world would be over, including China. So like, I'm sure that China's probably pretty satisfied to just rattle their saber and just be like, we very much dislike this, but we would also like for you to continue to buy iPhones. So please stop this, but we're not going to kill her because that would be very dumb because yeah, we need you to buy iPhones, but please stop this.
They moved all their, they moved their two aircraft carriers in next to Taiwan as close as they wanted to get. And it's just like, all right, cool. Bro.
Yeah, there was tons and tons of posturing, but anybody who thinks for a second that like the Chinese government is going to use their military to kill Nancy Pelosi for going to Taiwan is out of their fucking mind. Like, or they just don't realize exactly what they mean when they say, "Oh, World War III is going to start." No, but dude, nuclear weapons are on the table, man. When World War III happens, that's it. It's the last one.
Yep.
World over.
Yeah, I forget who, like, one of those, it might have been Einstein, but I think it was like one of the scientists who worked on the nuclear bomb, and they were basically like, I don't know what weapons will be used to fight World War III, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and rocks, because they were just like,
that was Einstein.
Yeah, it's just like, that's it. Like, World War III, we go back to the Stone Age if we even exist anymore. I mean, it's either humans fighting with sticks and rocks, or it's ant versus cockroach for control of the world. Like, that's it. Like,
yeah, so just the idea that China would light that candle over, you know, because it's not like Nancy Pelosi is over there to just be like, I'm here with my briefcase full of our agenda to make sure that the world knows that you are your own independent nation. We will stand triumphantly against China. No, she's there to just be like, hey, Taiwan, how's it going? Like, symbolic gesture. I'm here to score some points. Cool. Handshaking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're your own nation. We get it. Tussle's hair. But the one China thing is still our government policy on that. So, you know, we'll make sure that China doesn't invade you. But aside from that, they do kind of own you. So. Yep. All right, I'm out. And then Nancy Pelosi's going to leave, and that's going to be that.
Yeah. And as she's flying away, she sees the Japanese aircraft carrier, and all the Japanese soldiers on the deck have to have their shirts off, and they're showing Nancy their 10-pack abs and letting her know just how alpha Chadley they are because they've been drinking water with Alex Jones's filters. And
I don't know why. I don't know why the Japanese are here, but I am excited about their rippling muscles.
Yes,
they have a vested interest in Taiwan being recognized, and
they're just having an ab off at the South China Sea. That would be incredible. About. That's what it's I want. I just about. Want the Aussies pull up, and they're just like, "Hey, guess what, motherfuckers? Hey, guess what, you drongos? Boom! Look at these
drongos." I mean, after all the shit that's gone on with Russia and how like they were just touted as being one of the greatest militaries in the world, and you like Ukraine has just been giving them the business with everybody else's like secondhand drones. I have real questions about the state of China's military. I know it's big.
Well, here's the thing. Like, everybody's military is like huge still for the relative to what it should be, considering we're not really fighting the big countries aren't really fighting each other anymore. But because the big countries aren't really fighting each other anymore, it's just sort of like, I don't know. Like, it's sort of like how the U.S. dollar is just sort of like, it is what it's worth because they say it is. Like, all these countries are just like, yo, our military is great. Look how many tanks we have. And then they're just like, they'll produce like a line of like 2,000 tanks from 40 years ago that are rolling down the street. And you're just like, damn, we do have a lot of tanks. But what the fuck does that actually mean?
I know. I fought with a lot of those tanks. I was not a tanker, but they were there. And even the tankers are like, yeah, we shouldn't really be using tanks anymore. Like, it's not the state of modern warfare. Like, they're good for holding a position, but it's just we've moved so far beyond tanks.
So, but my everybody who listens to the podcast knows that I'm obviously a huge pro-America patriot. Yeah. So my patriotism leads me to believe that I still think America probably still has most and best guns. I mean, God, I hope so. We spend so much money that one would imagine that we have most and best guns still.
But never audited them. Never once.
Yeah. And also, I'm not convinced that that's like, I'm not convinced that it's just like, oh, the U.S. military, like our weapons are like super weapons or anything. It's just, I think everybody's military is just sort of like, well-trained, but also not really fighting global conflicts really anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like periodically America will go to a place like Afghanistan and just be like, we're here now, we're fucking it up for 20 years, and then we're going to pull out and fuck it up for 100 years after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like America's fighting Russia or Russia's fighting China or like any of that shit anymore. So who the fuck knows? Maybe right. Everyone's military is crappy like Russia's, and we're all just hoping that nobody notices.
Russia's is just surprisingly shitty.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we were all shocked by how far Russia has fallen. Literally, if they didn't have access to nuclear weapons, I would travel to Russia to laugh in their faces.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, what are you going to do to me? you're all so weak and crappy.
Oh, if they don't have...
Lift up those shirts and let me see your abs. Yeah, that's what I thought.
If they didn't have nuclear weapons, like, we'd be rolling up with, like, in Dodge trucks just playing Highway to the Danger Zone as our jets just rolled over Ukraine and, like, introduced them to how much money we spend on the American armed forces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we get to finally do something with our rows after rows of tanks.
Yeah, yes. We would. We would be training the Ukrainians on how... Hey, Ukraine.
Hey, you guys want some hand-me-down tanks? Here's like 40,000 of them.
And they would say thank you. Because all the Russian tanks are breaking down.
Yeah, like, I mean, at least America has that fucking crazy Hellfire missile they just used to kill that the Osama bin Laden's bro. Like, I was watching like a news article about the Hellfire missile that literally isn't an explosive. It's just literally a kinetic weapon. They throw the missile at you, and then right before impact, it launches out like six blades. So it's just a giant flying sword that just like shreds you as it comes.
We got cool shit.
Very unfortunate time for that chap to step out onto his balcony for a cigarette or whatever.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Like, ah, yes, truly a blessed day. God smiles upon me. Hey, what's that? Boom! His last thought was, hey, what's that? And it's just like a shiny blur coming out of me. He's like, And then he doesn't exist anymore.
As the giant flying sword thing just comes at him and just mutilates him.
It just has a picture of All Might from My Hero on it and says United States Smash on it. It's like, what? Anime?
Obliterated.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, but stuff like that, I mean, you know, does it have the same intimidating impact as a big tank? No. Because you have to see it do its thing for it to give you that impact. Like a tank, you see a tank, and even if it's not shooting something, you're just like, damn, that thing is big and armored. That gun is fucking huge. It could probably destroy me. Like, the idea of a missile fired from, like, a sub or something, like, that, like hundreds, if not thousands of miles away, just, like, hitting you on your balcony and killing you with pinpoint accuracy out of nowhere is really intimidating if you see it. If not, it's just sort of this ethereal concept, like, yeah, nuclear war, whatever, it's fine. And then, like, you see it, you're just like, holy shit, I vastly underestimated how crazy this is.
Yeah. I will give Russia this. They have won the propaganda cyber war, because we all thought they had the rockin'est military in the world. They definitely fucked with our election. But then when it came time to put up or shut up against Ukraine, little tiny country, they have largely had to shut up.
So. Yeah, I mean, they've been having a run. They've gained some ground recently, and unfortunately, nobody's really talking about the Ukraine stuff anymore, at least not in any of my spheres. But, you know, I'm still kind of keeping up with it, and I still do support Ukraine and, you know, fuck Russia. And regardless of how it shakes out, the end result will be Russia looking like they got caught with their pants down.
Yeah. So,
and like, after like 2 years, they're just like, we did it. The mighty Russian Empire defeated our tiny neighbor, Ukraine. And everyone's going to be like, yeah, I mean, bully for you. Congratulations, you fucking morons.
Yeah. Segueing back to the elections and finishing up real quick here, QAnon's pride and joy, their ultimate hero, Carrie Lake, looked like she was in a ton of trouble last night. But, The 3 a.m. ballot dump came in. The Arizona Republican mules showed up.
I was about to say, what's up with these mules, Mike? Where the fuck is I thought that they were proud patriots watching the ballot boxes overnight.
Yeah, well, this is so funny to me because, like, literally, this is exactly from 2000 Mules, where all the, like, Dennis Prager and all these guys were talking to Dinesh, and they were like, "Well, I went to bed and I thought Trump was going to win, and then I woke up and it turned out Biden was going to be my president. What the fuck?" And that's literally what happened in this election. Like, if you went to bed around midnight Eastern time, you thought Robson had beaten Lake. And then when you wake up this morning, Kerry Lake's in the lead. How the fuck is this possible? So it's so funny.
Oh my God.
So it's so funny that, like, the order in which you count votes doesn't really matter. It's just the total votes you get at the end of the fucking contest. So, like, literally, as when Lake was losing, Greg Phillips, our boy from True the Vote and 2000 Mules, was like, "This shit's rigged! It's fucking bullshit!" And then the next thing you know, he's like, "Wait, woo, go Kerry!" And it's like, what was it, Bo? What was it, boy? Was it rigged or was it good? I mean, talk to me, Greg. Explain this to me, you colossal moron. So, yeah, they're very happy. And for the record, Kerry Lake's, like, down huge in all the polling for the general election, for all the general election stuff, because Kerry Lake is a QAnon nut, and Arizona is not blood red, so being a QAnon nut does not play there. So enjoy being the female version of Mastrioni or Dr. Oz in this state, because it's not great. It's not great. And the final thing I wanted to bring up, because it's actual good news, it's always good to end on a high note. Fucking Kansas. Kansas, yeah. You know, liberal bastion of America, Kansas, overwhelmingly, aggressively rejecting an abortion ban that the Republicans tried to make as confusing as possible. They wrote the verbiage of this ballot initiative. They put it in the midterms to try to assure a low turnout. They tried to confuse everybody because you would think, like, yes means, like, we keep, well, yes means I affirm our right to an abortion. I affirm the right to choice, and no means end the right. Nope. They switched it. They switched it so that no meant you were keeping abortion and yes meant you were ending abortion.
Yeah.
They did everything they could to try to fucking, like, just bullshit this thing through and sneak it in, and they got crushed.
They fucked themselves because as someone who is in this election, there are signs everywhere that says value them both, vote yes. And it was called the value them both bill. It was monstrous. It was called value them both. They had this purple image of a mother holding a baby, and it was vote yes. There were they made it as confusing as possible, but there were signs everywhere, letting you know how you needed to vote on this. My partner voted in this. She's eligible to vote in Kansas, and she did. She said, even seeing all the signs and knowing how she was, she wanted to vote, she had to read it 3 times because you're not exaggerating. I had to go read it. It is very, very confusing if you read it.
Well, regardless of why it turned out the way it did, the good news is either intentionally or accidentally, Kansas really came through on this one. So congratulations, Kansas. I don't retract any of the stuff I've said about you publicly or privately, but you did get this one right, so congratulations.
Yeah, and the other thing I really enjoy about this is that QAnon has literally done nothing but talk about how they're all about protecting the unborn and all this stuff, and how God wins, and how America is pro-life and will save the children. Total silence on Kansas crushing this abortion ban. They can't even wrap their heads around it because it's Kansas and it's their staple. Only guns probably rank higher for them than abortion. So this is one of their most important issues in one of the states that they're guaranteed to win in presidential elections for forever. And they've gotten crushed. And all they can talk about is Carrie Lake and Donald Trump's perfect track record. All of his endorsements came in, including in your state, Sarge, Eric won the fucking primary. The most gutless fucking thing that has ever happened.
Yeah,
Eric. Maybe the most respect I've had for Donald Trump in a while. His post praising Eric. It's just so good. You know what? I think Eric really rules, and I've always been a big fan of Eric. And for those of you who are listening to our podcast, there were two Erics in this vote, both on either side of the aisle, right?
Yeah, the two leading Republicans were Eric. They were both Eric.
Both Erics. Yeah. Gotcha.
Right.
Now, Trump notably endorsed both Erics, but here, let me give you a little background. One of the Erics is Eric Greitens, our former governor, who is, not convicted.
Did he have to, resign in disgrace or something?
Yes, for tying a woman up, taking naked pictures of her, allegedly some rape, maybe, and not allegedly, child abuse, because the attack ads on him played the open court records of all his divorce hearings and how his children are afraid of him. We're afraid daddy was gonna hit us. So also violated a ton of campaign finance laws. Now,
and did the rhino ad where he rubbed out the gun talking about how we're gonna hunt rhinos.
Yep. Yes, he did the rhino hunting ad, but also, and no one brings this up, at one point long ago he was a registered Democrat and ran as a Democrat. Then he's yeah, he's a fucking mess. So the fact that Trump couldn't even be bothered to not endorse the alleged rapist and definite child abuser, Eric Greitens,
Greitens lost. Trump would have won if he'd endorsed the right Eric.
Yeah. Greitens did lose. He lost, thankfully, by a decent amount. But Missouri is a close primary.
Well, wait a minute. So who won?
Eric.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yes. Trump really, he really pulled one over on us.
Eric Schmidt.
It turns out that you were never going to beat Eric.
No, Eric.
No goddamn way.
You will gaze upon him and Eric will win.
Yes.
Donald Trump has always loved Eric.
Yes.
We all love Eric.
Everyone loves Eric. Oh, God.
It's like Tom. Tom and Eric are the same.
Yes. Yeah. No, it was a fun time to be in Missouri when Greitens was governor, because he was only really governor for 3 months. And when all the controversies started coming out, the multiple felony charges. He just went into hiding like Ron. He could not be found for, I think, fully a week. Like, he would not appear before the press. He just, he was just like, well, time to go hide in my bunker or whatever. And like, was not seen for a while.
Jesus Christ.
We were simpatico. I think we were both going for it at the same time, like a briefcase dangling above the squared circle.
Yes.
I believe that's going to wrap up the fucking shit involving the midterms, at least as far as we're going to be discussing it for now. I'm sure there's more midterm shit, but that's the most Q-adjacent shit that we could cover this week. Now it's time to get on to our wonderful mailbag.
Our listeners got questions, we got answers. It's time for Q&A.
So Reverend Xenofact asks, we've established the grift powers of Sir Quentor, the QAnon super leader made from Trump, Q, and Sorbo. So Sir Quentor needs sidekicks. What code names do his subordinates get to match their quote-unquote special abilities? Bonus points for not mentioning Wagyu hats or Ray dolls.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Up front, like, are you... Is this Sir Quentor, like Serpentor?
Yeah.
Or Sir Quentor, like a Game of Thrones character, like S-Y-R Quentor.
We made him from the DNA of shitbag conservatives.
That's what I thought. It was just Mike was just pronouncing it funnily. Well,
they did space it. They spaced it Sir, and then they put Quentor. So they might have got auto-corrected by their phone.
Quentor.
Yeah.
Or maybe now we've gotten to a different... a different like genre. Now we're to fantasy. Now we're to fantasy, and the most like some arc wizard combined the most evil QAnon people together, infused them into Sir Quentor.
Well, we have the Congresswoman, kind of like the Baroness. Dr. Mindbender is a real G.I. Joe character.
So for Rod Watkins, so it's like the hat thing. I think it's like, again, he made that part of his brand, so we don't have to use the word Wagyu. But I bring up the hat for one reason and one reason only, and that is, if we were really playing in this space in the way of the original people naming G.I. Joes, we would get in trouble, because they would probably do something slightly racist, because it's easy to forget this, but Rod Watkins is Asian.
Originally,
I'm not even going to try to come up with any. I'm just going to say that, hey man, like you get a guy with an AR-15 and his gimmick is that he's Asian with a cowboy hat, and they are probably going to name him something kind of racist.
I will give G.I. Joe credit. There aren't really any racist ones. The closest they got was the Native American one, and his name is Spirit. But that one's just kind of stuck, and no one seemed to have a problem with it.
I guess that thankfully a lot of them are white people that just have an accent. Like it'd be like Special Agent Baguette. He'd be like, "Wee wee, we did not choose our own code names. I wanted to be named something cool." And they're just like, "Shut up, Baguette."
There's the actual G.I. Joe's Chinese American, and his code name was Quick Kick. And that was just lazy.
They were all ninjas or masters of the ancient mystic arts and stuff. Like G.I. Joe, you know, they were just taking the surface level tropes of whatever they needed. And unfortunately, in America, for a lot of like global stuff, the surface level tropes are still pretty racist.
Yeah. Somehow G.I. Joe managed to be.
It's certainly better than a lot of other stuff.
I'm not saying it's perfect. It's a lot better. So he's got Code Monkey Z, and there's probably something there.
Can he have an action chair? Because like I'm assuming that he gets most of his good stuff done, like sitting at a computer.
I mean, the trouble bubbles are essentially Cobra's trouble bubbles are essentially action chairs, and then Serpentor has his flying chariot.
Unfortunately, Ron sort of gave himself a dumb name because sometimes internet handles can just translate into Code Monkey. You can just cut the Z off of it if you wanted to, and it could just be like Code Monkey, and it'd just be like with typing on keyboard and with shitpost action. And you know, just, shows a little kid hitting a button on his back, and he's just like wailing on the little plastic keyboard in front of him.
Yeah,
like he's just done so many dumb weird things, like.
like Praying Medic is literally Praying Medic, and he just like used his god to heal the wounded soldiers on the digital battlefield. And that was actually part of that fucking weirdo's gimmick, was that like he was an EMT in his previous life before he became a con man. And he's talked about how he could resurrect people from death, and that he had to pray to God before he did it to make sure that they were worthy and they deserved his blessing, his ability to be rezzed. He didn't want to waste his rez powers on like the unelect.
He couldn't just do it willy nilly. He's just like, now don't get it twisted. I can't just resurrect any dead person I want to, because then I would probably be on the hook to prove it or whatever. I have to talk to God. He has to say it's cool. So if you ever ask me to do it in front of you and I can't, it's because God said it's not cool.
Yeah, that's up there with Mormonism. It's like, can we see the gold plates from God? No, if anyone sees them but me, Joseph Smith, their head will explode.
Yes. Yeah.
So okay. I like a Praying Medic. I like a Code Monkey. So the problem is like for the boring guys what's a Jordan Sather? What's his deal? Right.
A lot of the Cobra lieutenants, it's just their name. There's Major Blood and Zartan. And
well, is it one of these QAnon idiots, Major Patriot or whatever?
Yes.
That's, I mean, that could be a G.I. Joe or a wrestler from the 80s or like a superhero or supervillain. Like, Major Patriot is unfortunately a good name for a lot of cool stuff. But the person who has it relative to what we talk about is like,
it sounds like a Peacemaker character.
Yeah, yes. it sure does. Like Peacemaker's secret other dad, Major Patriot. Yeah.
When you mentioned Jordan Sather, then you brought up Blood. Like, one of these guys would demand to have the name, like, Lieutenant Pure Blood, because I'm unvaccinated. My blood is pure.
I thought that was going in a racist direction.
Trust me. They know the underlying
some segment of the QAnon audience is over the fucking moon that now they can just proudly just be like, yeah, I'm pure-blooded. But I mean, because I'm unvaccinated, but like, I just still like getting together with my bros, talking about how pure our blood is, and now we don't like associating with people who have unpure blood. But it's all vaccinations, we promise.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
it's because I don't drink adrenochrome.
Anyway, so the sad answer is that most of these idiots would probably just have their own stupid internet handles as their G.I. Joe name. Like... Because if anything, the people who name G.I. Joes are at the very least lazy.
Yes. Martin Geddes would be a shitty photographer. He's like, yeah, look at me, I'm English and I don't know how to take pictures. It'd be great. Fuck that.
My photos are shitty, innit?
Yeah.
He still has me blocked because I critiqued his photos.
Get on truth, Sarge. Take another swing at him.
Oh, and did he finally get kicked off?
Well, I don't know if Martin Geddes' art got kicked off Twitter or not, but he actually did make has a verified truth account now, because they'll verify fucking anybody on that site. So it's great.
Might get verified.
Oh,
convince them that they need to verify their convince that they need their nemeses in order for the LARP to keep going, and that they should verify you as a way to make sure that there's like a lot of hot heat.
Okay, so the weirdest fucking thing happened. I was thinking of making a fucking account on Truth that was actually myself, because I obviously have a burner on there to fucking monitor them. And then I did a search for Poker Politics on Truth, and someone made an account of me on there, and they literally just started posting 4 hours before I did the search, because all the posts were 4 hours old, and it was just photoshops of my head on fat people's bodies, and they were just like, oh, I'm Poker Politics, I'm fat, but now I found out that Q is real, so I want you all to forgive me, here's photos of me being really fat. And I was like, man,
the
they
sad part
it.
Is they've got like 40,000 followers.
God, I wish. Oh, it'd be so great. Oh, man. If horrifyingly low energy, low effort, shit troll parody account of me on Truth just had a monster following, that would be incredible.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah. One day, at Real Poker Politics may show up on Truth, and I'll just be literally like, fight me, you cowards. And what's so funny is I look at so many of their, the QAnon promoters' posts, and they're just and because they're all about, we're about the truth and red pilling people and making everybody understand what's really going on in the world. And I swear to God, like once a week, half of them post a thing like, I just block anyone that posts anything negative because I'm not going to let my vibes get all unchill from people trying to black pill us, bro. Like I gotta like get my vibrations to a higher level in order to trigger the great awakening. And it's like, hey, aren't you supposed to be able to handle the fucking debate? Don't you have unstoppable truth on your side? Why would I be a threat to you if, like, you literally have God, like, speaking for you? Like
God and anime.
God damn it. Yes. I was unmuting my mic.
Oh, you're going to have to be faster than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so up next, Cleodora Silvestri, messing with your CSV again, says, if you had to place a Price is Right bid on how much money Alex Jones will be on the hook for by the end of his 3 Sandy Hook trials, how much do each of you bid? No overbid rule, and you can't bid $1.
Oh, so. we already did that.
Yeah, kind of covered this, but I will say for the record, the under the parameters that you've just described, it's not the Price is Right at all.
Yes,
like
right.
the Price is Right structure is like pretty fixed. Like this is just a bidding game, which is fine. I'm down to clown. I will say $400 million.
Yeah, I'm in that ballpark too.
Yeah, I think so. I think it could get a little higher now that we're actually getting some financials. So I'm going to say $600 million, but yeah, in that range.
Boom, half billion, going right down the middle. Yeah. Nailed it. Nice. World class job, me.
$1, Bob.
Boom. Boom. Alex actually ends up paying 250 million L wins with the smooth $1 attack.
my illegal play.
Yes.
I even went back in time to when Bob was hosting to do
yes.
it.
Yes, fuck Drew Carey. Take that.
How you like is that this still Drew Carey? Man, he must have been doing it now for like, what, 15 years? Good for him.
Yeah, he's been getting them checks, getting them Price is Right money. Just Liz asks, how will QAnon give Trump the win for the killing of El Zahrawi? I can't say the Al-Qaeda guy's name. Uh-oh. Sorry. Only wrong answers, please. They've been pissing and moaning about this being bullshit the whole time. They're just like, Bin Laden was dead for 3 years before Obama killed him and then took credit for it. And this guy was probably dead for forever. They just needed a distraction to make Biden look good. It's not so much giving the Trump the win. It's desecrating Biden's victory. That's kind of basically where QAnon's going with this, is that like he killed some nobody. Trump like killed all the real bad people. He defeated ISIS with his bare hands. Arr, Trump good, Biden bad. So, yeah.
I would say that they would just say that Donald Trump literally threw that missile from Mar-a-Lago and just hit the guy with it.
He
got word over the horn that the guy was on his balcony, and Donald Trump was just like, excuse me, I have to step away from this golf session for just a moment. And then he walked 20 feet away where some people just had the missile ready, and he just picked it up and just launched it with his monstrous strength into orbit, and then it eventually re-entered the atmosphere and killed that man.
I like to imagine that Trump, right before he threw the missile, like did the thing where he licked his finger and held it up to the air to gauge the wind. And then, having properly calibrated everything, just threw the missile and took care of business.
Well, yeah, I mean, you need to know where the wind's blowing. But he probably would have done that previously to make sure that his golf game was on point for the day.
Right, yes.
Because I can't stress this enough. He is definitely on the golf course. I mean, you might imagine that he has some work to be doing. No. It's on the golf course.
Yep.
He looks rough, too. He looks like a sack of crap.
Oh, yeah. I posted those compare and contrast photos of, like, his, like, presidential portrait photo versus the way he looks now. And it's like, look who's off the chrome. Oh, poor Donald Trump. No more chrome for you. you dumb adrenochrome addict piece of shit. So take that. Leech from BX asks, is this the end of Ron's political ambitions, or does he move on to some other attention getting stunt? And I'm gonna take executive privilege here and merge this with essential Coos question, which is, do you think little Ronnie Watkins will go back to queuing after he loses this election? So
I'm gonna say probably not, because it was definitely his dad that posted the new Q drops. And then those immediately stopped again. It seems like Ron is, like, I don't know, like actually done with it. Maybe kind of bored.
Yeah. I fuck his dad for ruining the fact that we had, we're not going to take it anymore as a DCMA copyright strike finish to the end of Q. The fact that Q has now ended whining about Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony before the 1-6 committee. That was Q's final farewell to us. Was just, hey, the surprise witness who people forgot about 3 days later when she was talking about Trump throwing a hissy fit in his limo. Wasn't that really important? Didn't the super secret spy need to break his silence after a year and a half to talk about that? Okay, well, I'm gone now. See you all later. Q out.
I mean, at the very least, if Q comes back now, there will always be speculation that it's Ron, provided that it's being done properly, like, you know, where they're not just giving up the ghost immediately by just failing to use their own fucking site properly. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Right. Like if some savvy Q comes back and like has like the has the clout and like, you know, didn't get fucked up by the biscuits or whatever the dumb thing was in the rotating algorithmic generation of your trip code and all that nonsense. Like, you know, everyone could always just be like, oh, it's Ron. And then Ron could hopefully, you know, it would sort of behoove him to not be doing it, but to always just be like, oh, I don't know, am I Q? Because that means that he can always keep a little bit of heat on himself and probably successfully grift people for a living.
Yeah, these grifters have a long, long tail on them. It's very disappointing.
He could just be like, I stopped my political ambitions and then Q came back. Those two things are completely unrelated. And even if he's not being Q, it would behoove him to still sort of just be like, wink.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for Ron, is that the only thing that makes him interesting is that he's Q, and without that, he's got nothing. So it's just so bizarre. I mean, it's just really, it's really messed up that he ever thought that he could, like, be the Wizard of Oz, step out from behind the curtain. Everyone's like, oh, cool, it's the Wizard of Oz, we still love you. And it's like, no, we just want Oz. We don't care about
them. Yeah, they never recognized or wanted, like...
Yeah, boo, get back behind that curtain, yeah. You fuck.
Right, right, exactly.
And then they get back behind the curtain and everyone's just, like, totally willing to just be like, oh, what happened to him? Oh, no, we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, it was never Ron. We didn't believe it was Ron.
But Oz is back. Everybody loves Oz.
Exactly. Oh, God. Yeah. So sorry, Ron. I really don't think he has it in him for any more political based stuff, because I think Ron has found out that having absolutely no charisma and no actual base makes it very hard to do anything. And when you
can't run a campaign by hiding in the desert.
Right. Like I had mentioned with Dr. Oz, like, carpet bagging is a real easy way to get yourself crushed in a race. And Dr. Oz is just carpet bagging from one state to another. Ron was carpet bagging from fucking Japan. I mean, he was like literally someone whose American citizenship is he's an American citizen, but like his American nationalism is like tenuous at best, because he spent most of his life like in Japan or the Philippines. He doesn't have like extensive ties to America. So, I mean, he just doesn't have anything that could make him someone where like, oh shit, Ron Watkins won office somewhere in America in a small city or something. He just doesn't have that. There's nothing.
Yeah. Like,
so yeah, Ron's, I mean, his grift was when he was on fucking OAN talking about how he read the Dominion voting machines manual and that made him an expert on the machines.
Like, oh, that those lawsuits are coming in. Those are rolling through. I don't know if he's named, but I know he was tippy-toeing real careful when they had him in the stupid fucking symposium, Mike Lindell's thing. He actually was talking to a lawyer while he was talking to them.
Oh, yeah. He got literally like pulled off the stage because they were like, yo, idiot, you're committing crimes right now. You are actually doing the crime. So you need to stop.
That's the crimiest do of them all.
It's right. Crime time.
Yeah. It was like, not so much. Do not do this. It is a bad
idea. Well, would you look at the time? Watch. It's just a tattoo that says crime.
Exactly. And finally, Pancake Peasant asks, did you think we would not notice that Hellworld L is a triple reverse fake vote mule with his avatar running it in our, rubbing it in our faces? Trust ellipsis the plan. So apparently your AVI on Twitter has outed you, L. You are clearly a mule.
I mean, not unless they start paying me, but you know, your boys pay to play. Like we have a, we can enter some negosh if maybe we need some ballots to be dropped off. But like, I feel like they probably want to be going for people that are desperate for cash and not me. Like I have standards. They'd have to be paying me real money to do that. Yeah. I'm like, this is illegal. And I already like am supporting myself. So you would need to be making, like you would need to be elevating my like tax bracket for this to be worth it.
We're talking over 400,000. I need to be in cinema tax cutoff eligibility. So, okay.
I would like to buy a house. So I'm going to need no less than $3 million.
Because
holy shit, it's the Wild West out there for the housing market. What a crazy time! What a time to be alive.
Yeah. So, as always, we wrap up with what are you clowns looking forward to?
So they finally announced, I collect G.I. Joes, hence my knowledge of them, and they finally announced that in the classified line that one, Shipwreck, aka Shore Leave, is finally getting a figure in Wave 11. So it's that one's for me. I'm excited about that.
I bet he's the sea captain one.
Yes.
Can you confirm or deny that? Shipwreck? Does he have any, is he boat related, probably? I had to guess.
Yes. He did serve in the United States Navy.
Nice. I nailed it. what a genius I am. I am excited. So I've been playing a dumb game that I'm not even going to discuss on the podcast because I don't want to promote them. It is a stupid thing that's just for me. But while I've been doing that, I've been listening to a lot of UK hip hop. I've become a TikTok person on my commute because it just makes the time go by very fast, which is exciting. And thanks to TikTok, I found out about the jam of the summer, which is the song Mr. Worldwide by Pete and Boz, these two like very elderly British gentlemen that they have cut this incredibly sick hip hop track that I genuinely, not ironically, very much think is my official to put a stamp on it, jam of the summer. But because that has reignited my interest in British hip hop. I went through this phase like 2 or 3 years ago.
Don't you touch that? For a while.
Yeah, and now so I've been like throwing on like YouTube playlists and stuff just on the background while I'm playing this dumb game and getting cultured by way of the British streets.
Yeah.
Do you follow Prozy D on TikTok?
No, I don't really follow anybody on TikTok. I think I followed like two people, and they're both just music producers, because all of the stuff on TikTok that I really fuck with is like music related. It's either people doing like open verse challenges or like dance videos or whatever. Very rarely an animal video, but if it's anything like, if it's just like people scrapping or like, here's a dumb comedy thing, I'm just like, nah, son. I ain't got time for this. I want to be listening to a mashup of the Backstreet Boys and like some ridiculous like emo band from 2010. And it's just like, doesn't it work? Isn't it so crazy? Like and subscribe. I'm just like, no, I'm not doing this. No. For most of them. For a couple of guys, I was like, you know, I did like that. And I will like and subscribe.
Okay. I'm glad they were able to win you over. They were able to melt L's cold, cold heart. So yes.
One guy's got like a cool mask. It's sort of like a rhinestone-y Casey Jones thing. It's a very cool mask. And I was like, you know what? You've got a cool mask. You make like good little quick music production videos. And yeah, you know what? I'm into it. I click that like button. Well done, mask guy. I don't even know your name.
I demand one of his videos because every now and then when I'm bored, I indulge in the talking of ticks. So I can find
his name. Like I said, he's one of the only two people I followed. I'm assuming it's a him, even though like maybe that's incorrect because, you know, like I said, the person is behind a very glittery mask. Anyway, Mike Rains, what are you looking forward to?
We're getting perilously close to football season, which is like when the only time I'm actually alive in this world. So all this politics and QAnon shit is just surface level for me. Enjoying my favorite form of sports ball is life. So as I mentioned on Twitter, I asked our listeners if they were interested in a Hell World Fantasy Football League, and we got some interest in that. So I will be seeing about that and just all.
I'm gonna be Skaven.
Yeah, yes, you can. You absolutely can have the Skaven. I will probably. I don't want to play dwarves because dwarves just ruin fun. So I'll just be orcs. Orcs are solid.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would also probably just end up being orcs.
Then I will play the Skaven. I enjoy Gunner Runners. They're very.
I mean, Skaven is like a high roll because it's just like when it works out. Like, you just feel unstoppable, but the one time it doesn't work out, you're just like, oh, well, now my whole team is entirely destroyed.
Yes.
You're the one guy that made my whole team work, he died because he was shrimpy. Well, that's the ball game. That's the season, folks.
Yep.
Time to pack this one in.
Yeah.
I remember doing that to a mutual friend of ours way back in the day, and it felt very satisfying. By the time I lost that game, I was like, yeah, enjoy your next match, idiot.
Yes. That will happen. Oh, Skaven and Wood Elves, the ultimate high risk, high reward, or no reward teams to play in our beloved Blood Bowl, which apparently they butchered with the new rules, so I will never speak of them again. So
look how they massacred our boy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, enough of this tangent horseshit. It is time for us to go consult a former president who shall remain nameless to seamlessly pick us up and launch us out of Hell World for the week. Thank you, listeners, so much for your support. If you'd like to continue to support us, you can do so for free by leaving a 5-star review or whatever sort of maximum good review is on the platform that you get the podcast from. Or you can tell a friend, hey, if you know anybody that might like the show, go ahead and let them know that you've got like the secret info on three dickheads that talk about Q, sort of, and some other stuff. If you have money, and you would like to give it to us, you know, whether it jingle jingles or folds. See, I'm a TikTok guy. You can give it to
the
us.
The ferrets, they're so beautiful.
you can give it to us by way of our Patreon if you feel so inclined. You can do that at patreon.com/pokerpolitics, where you will get 40 plus hours of bonus content featuring many different series, the most prominent of which are the ones where we break down QAnon related quote-unquote pop media, such as the series Cabalin and What We Do Out of Shadows and Mule's Errand, where we talk about Fall of the Cabal, Out of Shadows, and 2000 Mules, respectively. So all that stuff and more available for a $5 a month or more donation to the Patreon. You can join our team of Beautifuler Babies. Thank you for this week's slate of Beautifuler Babies, Emily F. and Joe Lemon. We appreciate all the support. It really warms our cold, dark hearts. And also, it reminds me of Liz Lemon, who I love very dearly. So thank you very much to you. If you have money and you don't want to give it to us, we totally understand. You can do some good with it by donating it to love146.org. They're an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. Or you can donate it to whichever charity of your choice is still supporting Ukraine in their fight against Russia. Or, as always, you can donate that money in any Vote Blue segment across the country. Voting blue. Blue is the best color. Red, poop color. Blue, top tier color.
Go Smurfs. So,
what was that? Bubba Sparks? Yeah, Bubba Sparks.
Go Smurfs.
Oh, go Smurfs. You said it so quick. I literally thought you said something Sparks.
And my brain rolled in the rest. I'm trying not to run over you. You just kept saying go blue. It's all I could think.
Yeah, dude, go blue and Bubba Sparks. Actually, I can't speak to Bubba Sparks' politics, so I will retract my endorsement of him until I find out where
we'll
he is
check back.
Yeah, we'll check back with him. Speaking of music, thanks DJ Minimal Effort for use of our theme song. Still too cool for social media. Don't even know if he listens to the show anymore, but you know, thanks DJ Minimal Effort for your contribution. Thanks to our buddy Frosty for all of our bumps and our voice of cue when we need it, etc. You can find Frosty on Twitter at FrostyVO. You can find us on Twitter, the show itself, at Hellworld with a Q instead of an O. You can find me on Twitter at HellworldL, spelled the same way. You can find Sarge there at Sarge in Hell. And Mike Rains is, of course, Poker Politics. So go ahead and follow us / engage with us on our soch if you'd like to ask us questions directly or ask your questions to be answered on the show. So for another successful episode of the Adventures in Hellworld podcast, as always, I have been one of your hosts, the Mysterious L, joined by our good friend Sarge and our expert in all things QAnon crazy, Mr. Mike Rains. Goodspeed, Patriots!